Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Well, we have disposable napkins, disposable cups, even disposable clothes these days. Seems so much of our life falls into the category of use once and toss. If something has seen better days and is no longer useful, out it goes. Some people look at old people the very same way. Here to explain is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, you'd better come up with a solution fast because you and I both are headed into those disposable years. Help us out here.
I'm still in my teens. You're an old guy. Well, I'm getting to the point where some Bible texts really are becoming more meaningful to me.
Yes.
There's that one in the Bible that talks about man's life being 70.
Yeah.
Except by reason of strength, 80.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I have strength.
Absolutely.
I'm also hoping that I can live a few more millennia in a promised paradise.
Amen.
We recently had a Liberty board meeting to go over some upcoming articles, and I'd assigned an article to an author who'd written before, and I liked his style, and I'd assigned it to him, and I'd put it in the issue. And I thought it would be well received by our group, and man, did they get hot and bothered. Not because they objected to the concept, but they thought that this was so confrontational and divisive a topic that we shouldn't even put it in Liberty. And I'm thinking, really? Because we were dealing with euthanasia and what you just explained in the introduction. And the title in Liberty is called A Gentle Solution. And a lot of my life as I get older, I sort of hear my father's voice saying different things. And I can remember him talking at one of the annual flu die-offs. He says that pneumonia is an old man's friend. And it's true that every year when the flu hits, or even when it's not formally in session, that an awful lot of old people go out with a gasp when their lungs fill with fluid and they get some sort of pneumonia. And some people say, well, you know, it's natural death, and you're sort of off the scene. And so as this COVID-19 epidemic is gathering strength, I noted that at first the vast majority of people didn't seem overly bothered. And one of the reasons was that it was said with some certainty early on that this was an old person's hazard and that the young had nothing to worry about. And I noticed, and unless I'm reading the tea leaves wrong, the community involvement and concern has gone up radically once it was explained in words and in illustration by the fact that very young people, middle-aged people, and 20-ish people are going, that it's not just an old person's affliction.
Well, speaking for old people everywhere, I think that is not wonderful.
No, it's not wonderful. In another program, I cited the Bible. It says in the Bible that not willing that any should perish,
That's right.
Young or old.
Yeah.
But, you know, actuarially, the lawyers and so on always decide if there's damages to be paid. It's how many years, functional years you have left, your earning power and so on. So there's a, clearly on one level is arguably a greater loss to society when unrealized potential is cut off and yet someone else has lived. But yes, as an older person, I don't want to think that I'm not important and that when push comes to shove, the switch will be cut or the tube pulled out.
Yes.
In reality, we are facing that moment. We are facing it. And New York, according to the governor, is right at the point where the engine's running at maximum revs, and he says it can't maintain maximum revs. It'll blow. What he's talking about, they don't have enough ventilators for people being hospitalized. And it's not said in so many words, but we all know what that means. You know, an 80-year-old person and a 15-year-old come in together. There's one ventilator.
Yeah.
Who will get the ventilator? It's both logical and sinister. So what's been percolating in our society for some time may now require implementation. So I think, if nothing else, the discussion needs to be visited again about how people die. Now, the way it's been operating for a few decades in the U.S. since the perhaps now forgotten, but not in my mind, Dr. Kevorkian, is that, you know, medicine and law could sort of cooperate to hurry an older person who's suffering a bit and weary of life, hurry them on their way, doing them a good deed. You know, it's sort of the kind guy next to the wounded king in the example of Saul, you know, run me through, do me a kindness. And it has an appeal for some people, but it quickly degenerates, even if it were defensible on its simplest level, it quickly degenerates into legal authorities and other people making a decision that someone is now not worthy of living. I'm very interested in history, and in most recent history, at least almost within a lifetime, you know, we had the Nazis. Well, they took it to the next level. Society as a whole would decide not just which individuals, but which categories of people were worth living, contributed to the state, or even worse, were impediments to the state. It's a slippery slope that we've been slipping on for a while, and now in the middle of this emergency, I think our guard may be down and we may embrace the concept, at least in part.
You know, there's a story that I heard about recently. There was a priest over in Europe someplace, and he was in his 70s, and he was on a ventilator, and they brought a younger person in, and they didn't have another ventilator. And the priest said, "Give him my ventilator." And so they did, and sadly, the priest died. Now, that's a whole different ballgame.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Those are selfless acts, and you know, that's the reality of life.
Yeah.
But it must be slightly different if someone else says, oh, well...
Yes, exactly.
And as a matter of policy, he's older, automatically give it to the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, and clearly we're asking the doctors, as we often have, to play God in these cases.
Yeah.
But it's worth remembering, and the article mentions it, that the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take a vow to says this. I'll read it. Or at least as it once was. It's being tweaked a little bit lately. But it says, I will use treatment to help the sick according to my ability and judgment, but never with a view to injury and wrongdoing. Neither will I administer a poison to anybody when asked to do so, nor will I suggest such a course.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting concept there. That we're, in many ways, we're beyond that already in our modern view of medicine and so on. Even the insurance company is applying that when they approve a certain treatment for an illness or disapprove another. They're clearly deciding the fate of people.
Maybe we should, as elderly people, maybe we should sign that DNR as we hit a later age, and we make the decision that, you know, if someone comes in and needs a ventilator and they're younger than we are, give it to them. That's just a given when people deal with us.
Well, the decision that priests made, that's in the real world a practical, selfless decision.
Right.
That isn't wrong. But when you formalize these things and place a value, and I've spoken of this before, I haven't heard it lately, but I know it hasn't anything but gone underground. There was some talk 10 or so years ago by some of the more forward thinkers in the U.S., in the right wing particularly, about the producers and the users, or the consumers, or in the worst case, they call them the eaters.
The eaters.
There's a movie that I haven't seen, but my daughter studied it once in school, the Hunger Games type thinking. You know, I hope not. But I know many of these movies are really projections in some person's minds of what they see developing already, and it's not impossible we will go in that direction, and we've got to resist that.
Well, Lincoln, as we face this rather uncertain future, how do we go forward? What's your recommendation for us as we look at age-based disposability, and we have that age?
Well, I put this article eventually as an opinion because it's not Liberty's case to be absolutely definitive about all of the fine aspects of this, but we can warn about the slippery slope and the moral shift that is taking place where suicide is increasing in the country. Yes. Assisted suicides are legal in Canada, and some states are pushing toward it, even though the Supreme Court has held a pretty hard line on it with a definitive case. So, you know, where this will go, we can't say. But I'm reminded of a religious writer, a visionary, wrote some time ago, commenting on Revelation and the end time persecution of God's faithful. It says it will be determined that people that are holding out against religious dictates and the needs of the state, it will be decided that they have no right to live.
Well, Lincoln, I know the message that you want to give to our listeners is use the information we provide on this program to draw your own conclusions. And I think that we have given them good ammunition here. I also want to recommend the website, libertymagazine.org, to our listeners where they can gather information as well. That's what we're after. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, it's obvious to me on many topics, but particularly when we get onto this most serious issue of life and death, to navigate these shoals, we need to have a deep personal faith and an abiding faith in the Creator God, the life giver, the sustainer of all that's important in our internal life. And I believe with that reverence for life, as a philosopher said years ago, that will tide us through. The article ended with the quote by Dylan Thomas. It says, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage against the dying of the light." In defending God's principles, the life principle, we need to be all in, because we are, as people of faith, all in for life, all in for the life giver.
Oh, that is beautiful. Well, our time has flown by here on the program, Lincoln, and I just want to remind our listeners that the magazine is available at libertymagazine.org. Subscribe, read the articles, and also listen to these programs, other resources. But I find a golden thread weaving all the way through the magazine and through these radio programs is that don't go gentle. Don't go gentle. We need to just really rage against those things that are against what God is telling us to do. And I think that's the message you're trying to get across. Am I right?
Absolutely.
All right.
We keep reading to our listeners. Read.
Read. Very good. Educate yourself. Don't go collectively. Don't figure out how to do things based on what other people tell you. Even us. Find out for yourself. And that's the material that we're making available, libertymagazine.org, and also in Liberty Magazine itself. Lincoln, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and guidance. Always appreciate what you have to say. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.